This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
I'm here with Paco Ocaña, who's a PhD student at UCM Madrid, and you've given both a talk and you've got a poster presentation here. One is on the draconids, so could you tell me a little bit more about them?
Yes, well, last year, in 2011, we had a draconid outburst, the 8th of October, and we saw a particular event of this periodic shower, of this periodic meteor shower. So we recorded it from a Sierra Nevada observatory in Spain, in southern Spain, and we got several meteors, and we are now measuring all the images and analyzing all the data to determine where do their meteoroids, their particles come from. We also launched a balloon with a scientific payload, one of our video cameras, to record meteors. Unfortunately, the PC shut down when it was still too low to record meteors, but we plan to launch another balloon to observe the Geminides, that is probably the best meteor shower around the year, and we are working now on the next mission.
Okay, so for the balloon, you sort of send it up. How high up does it go?
Well, it goes up to 35 kilometers. So when we go above jet stream, the camera stops shaking, and we can record meteors not as if we were in an airplane, but it's good enough, and it's a low-cost mission if you compare it with an airborne mission that costs 100,000 euros. We are working always with low-cost devices and low-cost. We are focusing on low-cost, so because of the shortages and the cuts in the budget.
Yeah, so for the sort of observing that you're doing using the balloon, do you have to sort of follow the balloon to collect the data? Is it stored there? Do you have to catch it?
Yes, it was an adventure because we launched two balloons, one to get up there and the other just to balance the weight of the box, just to stay in the atmosphere, above the atmosphere, long time enough to record the whole outburst. But they cut mechanism for the balloon fail, so we have to track the balloon more than 300 kilometers, and it was about to fall over in the Mediterranean Sea.
But you managed to get it.
Yes, we managed to get it, and we managed to see that the PC malfunctioned after 30 minutes of the launch.
That's a real shame that you didn't have all the data for all of that time.
Yes, we have the data, but the box is spinning so fast that we only see the moon and the stars. Well, we know that the camera works at very high altitude. We know that if we have recorded the moon, we will record a very bright fireball. So we are now thinking on the next mission, and I think we are going to have the very first meteor recorded in a balloon-borne mission.
Well, I wish you loads of luck for that. You have a poster here, and this is to do with detecting fireballs. Is it a different method that you're using to detect them?
Well, we are detecting fireballs because our observatory is inside a very big city, Madrid. So we have a very heavily light-polluted sky. So we can only record fireballs, but we are taking advantage of this. So we are only recording fireballs, and we are studying this kind of population. We can say that we are studying the massive slope of all the distribution of particles. It is particularly interesting because most of the mass that falls into the Earth could come from this massive tail of the distribution. And also the most important for the human beings are the larger ones. So studying the medium-sized ones, we can try to understand how many large ones are there in the solar system.
Is there any difference sort of in structure between like a normal meteor and a particularly bright meteor? Is it just that it's larger, or it just interacts more, breaks up?
Yes, well, here in the conference we have had a very interesting talk by Giri Borovica, and he told us that draconids are made of grains, and they are all glued. So we can understand that in the very early solar system, we already have grains that come from wherever, probably from a very evolutionated large star, and they have get glued while all the planetesimals were forming and were in an accretion process. And when we are watching meteors, when we are studying them, we can see how do the solar system form when we are looking to their light, because we can see how large were their grains, how is this glue, because meteors coming, or meteoroids, that is the name of the particle, coming from the outskirts of the solar system, are richer in organic material than the ones coming in from the middle, from the inner belt, from the asteroid belt.
So do these ones come in the same sort of streams, like the trails from comets?
Yes, we have had also the theoretical point of view that people also study how do the meteors fall in our atmosphere, just to calculate the orbit in the solar system. So it's very interesting, because if you see a meteor with an unknown parent, you know that there is a comet or an asteroid that is crossing our orbit, but you can't see it.
Well, fantastic work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.